Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey, Goldberg! I bet if that dunk was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it.
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack, 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 go!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Ducks fly together. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, yo.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. There's really only one way to start the episode. After episode 6, entitled Spirit of the Ducks, we have our instant analysis. This episode is sponsored by N64 Rescue, who has been a Quacklite since 2018. If you ever had an N64 growing up, you need to check out the N64 Rescue Instagram page. They make custom Nintendo 64s. They have a Mighty Ducks one in production. The concept art looks pretty awesome. That's on the Instagram page. So you can check out the mock-up there and other custom N64s, like their Green Ranger N64, signed by the Green Power Ranger, which is pretty cool. N64 Rescue on Instagram. Again, that's the letter N, the number 6, the number 4, Rescue on Instagram. Let's move on to the instant analysis. Spirit of the Ducks, the cameos came. Just your opening thoughts here, Kevin.
It was a lot. It felt like a lot to try to cram into an episode. It was great to see all the ducks. It was chock full of Easter eggs. It was a lot of fun. It was a very fun episode. I do wish they had more time to explore more, but I kind of watched it through the view of knowing the difficulties, like having, you know, during COVID and filming, and how much of a time crunch this must have been. It was a lot of fun for a Ducks fan. If you're a fan of the old Ducks, like you would have loved this episode, just because I love the way they started it off with the broken windshield. Because you knew that's when it was kicking off, so that was cool. It was great to see all the old ducks, and I liked it because in our mid-season review we talked about a lot of our predictions, and a lot of them started to come true on this one. I thought that was good.
Yeah. Quick note on those mid-season predictions, because we did hit a lot of them. It's been mentioned that there is somebody who throws up in episode 1. The kid next to Evan on the bench is actually hurling. You don't actually see the vomit, but that is a win for us. I'll have to go back and find the clip, but multiple people have pointed that out to us. So good for us. But Tommy, your thoughts here on episode 6.
Yeah, I was actually rewatching episode 1 last night, and I was like, oh, that kid just threw up. You don't see it, but I would like to point out that was my prediction. So
yes,
points for Tommy.
All credit to you.
Yeah. This episode was just a lot of fun. It's hard not to just have a smile on your face the entire time. And you're really like suspending your belief in this. I think a lot of times with these, you can be like, wait, like Fulton's doing construction. Why didn't he and Bombay like grab a beer ever before? You know, you really kind of suspend your belief, because I do think that the plot really grows as the episode does. They get through like the, you know, corny introductions or whatever, you know, Averman's one-liners and everything like that. And you know, some nice serious topics. And I know we'll get into it later, like their pizza dinner, but it's just a really, really good episode. And not only just because of the return of the original ducks, but the continuing conflict. And I actually thought that the beginning of the episode with Coach T and Evan was just super strong. And again, really, really strong performance by Dylan Playfair as Coach T. In our last episode, we talk about like who's kind of the MVP for the secondary. And Kevin mentioned Coach T. I think he's got to be the secondary MVP, especially after this episode. I'd forgotten how good he was. And one thing that Dylan mentioned to us before anyone saw the series is like his varying lengths of hair. And you really see that his hair is very long in this episode. And especially because I watched the pilot again last night, it's not nearly as long. But really, really great start to the episode and what I think is my favorite episode so far.
Yeah, a lot of good points. My first note is that is the best acting we got from Coach T in that first sort of scene there. So I thought overall, a lot of strong performances. You had Coach T. I thought Evan was really good. I thought Alex was really good. Bombay went through a gamut of emotions, and I thought Emilio did a really good job there. So I thought the acting was really good from our main people there. Yeah, it was fun. As Kevin mentioned, the Easter eggs, whether it's, you know, the window being broken or driving the limo on the ice and all that stuff. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. We had the pizza scene, obviously, with the ducks and Bombay, and was a little bit rushed, I think. But I guess that's sort of the deal Kevin talked about, where it was, you know, it was hard to get everything in place when you had COVID and whatnot. But really, three, I guess, arcs going on here. You had Bombay and the old ducks kind of mixed with the Ducks Gala, and then you had Stephanie and Alex, and then you obviously had Evan going back to the old Ducks. So let's start with Evan, just because that's the first thing we sort of see. How did we feel about him secretly going to practice there? And I guess I don't know how he got there or what he did, but he made it secretly to the Ducks practice with an opposing team, and I was like, interesting strategy there, Evan.
So first off, you really amazing recruiting job by Coach T.
Yeah, that was so good.
It was just really class there. And he had that great one-liner about like dating a lot of single moms. And you could tell he probably does very well for himself. Very convincing, very charismatic. But that's for another discussion. and so I think it really worked. I think it is definitely like a bit of a betrayal, but I mean, you really understand everything, especially after like his new team, they don't seem to give a shit about like doing better than just one win, where Evan basically did everything. And so it doesn't look like he's just being like a total tool, as it might've like come off like earlier or something like that. So I thought it was good, not only for the story, but I think it made sense for Evan's character where he is.
I'll agree with Tommy's point that I thought they did a good job setting that up in that scene before where they're watching the film, and they're all just kind of like resting on their laurels. So and that kind of like, you know, pushes Evan over the edge, like, because I don't think he would have done that had that scene not happened. Like, I don't think he would have gone to the practice, but then he saw that and he was like, ah, shit, maybe I should take this more seriously. So I thought that was a good job, like from a story perspective, to kind of set that up. I thought the practice was good. And I mean, you could see everything that was coming, like when she has her phone out on the ice, like what the hell is happening? But you could see, you could tell, you knew what was going to happen at the end of the episode. Like, you knew that they were going to find out. Like, there was no way they weren't going to find out. They all go to the same school. Like, they're not going to, you know, but I thought that was good. But the recruiting job was amazing. Coach T was hilarious in that scene. I just loved how he kept like flip flopping, and how he was like, "I didn't shun you. I challenged you.
Yeah,
and you passed." Like, that was good. Coach T just A plus all around for that scene. But I think that the like the conflict within Evan was really good too, though.
Yeah, that is a good point about him. He's been set up since the beginning, obviously, as sort of caring more than even his mom or anybody like that. Like, he cares, he wants to be on the Ducks. So to have that scene where they're watching the video and Nick's like, if you want 9 more wins, watch this video 9 times again, was good. Yeah, a lot of great lines from Coach T. I know the hardships of being a single mom. I've dated plenty of them. Was really good. As Tommy mentioned, I liked his pause there. He's like, I know the hardships of being a single mom. I've dated plenty of them. So that was good. Yeah, incredible recruiting. I don't know how this league works, where you can practice with the other team. You can possibly join the other team. But Coach T having the backup list where, you know, Parker goes out with the leg injury and he knows Evan's there. So great job from Coach T.
I also really liked just like the general sliminess of him, like how he was like, I don't know, you can like see that happening a lot in like, you know, like a college recruit's living room or something. Like, it was just funny. Like, you can tell how like seedy of a character he is.
Yeah. So obviously Evan goes to the practice, which we talked about. He's got the, Ruby, the girl, films him, and he seems to be killing it at this practice. And I did like where he goes, Alex eventually figures out, and she's fine, like, you know what? Make this decision on your own. I thought that was a good, you know, heartwarming moment there. And then
to,
obviously,
to me, that was like the best moment from Alex that we've seen, is like, you need to make your own decision and I will support you no matter what, which is great. And you know, of course she's like, oh, he made the right decision later, which is also good, but you got to think like, hey, make your decision, live with it. It's part of life. And, you know, it also kind of shows the contrast with Bombay, where he gives that like terrible advice, like only look out for yourself. And, but Evan like takes all the factors and makes his right decision. But yeah, again, just want to, I know I've harped on some of Lauren Graham's performance there, but she was really good in this episode. And I really liked that, that scene where she kind of makes Evan make the choice.
Yeah. That was a good one.
It comes full circle. It comes full circle too. Cause like at the, and I think it was episode 2 or episode 1, whenever Bombay tells Evan, he's like, your mom does everything for you. She set up the team. She got, you know, got all this together. He's like, you got to do it yourself. And it kind of like brings Alex that kind of full circle. I thought that was really a really good kind of like character arc for her.
There you go. Kevin's paying attention. I like this. Yeah, man. I like this. Yeah. I did like it at the end there where, you know, he makes the right decision and then Alex sort of celebrates at the gala. Was a good moment to wrap it all up there.
I also liked the interaction in the scene where she tells Alex to make his own decision. Whenever she's like, I love you. And he's like, I don't care. She's like, yes, you do. I thought that was a funny little moment between them.
Yeah. All right. Let's, we'll get to the ending at the end of the episode. Let's move on here to Gordon and the Old Ducks. Just what do we make of the opening there where he runs into Fulton? And we talked about the broken window, obviously a callback, but just the interaction between Fulton and how it sort of played out to where he met all the other Ducks.
Him meeting Fulton had to be one of the most incredibly serendipitous moments in TV history. But I loved it. I thought it was great. As I mentioned before, it's like you could just like feel it kicking off the episode. Because I mean, we all knew what was coming. It would have been nice to have not known what was coming. You know, we were all expecting this episode. Damn media. I thought it was great. I mean, I thought Fulton, I agree with Tommy's point, Fulton being a construction worker and then having never interacted before, living in the same city and everything is a little weird. But I guess they kind of explain that a little bit later where it's like he's just kind of went dark. But I loved the interaction of how he first met Fulton. It was cheesy, but I loved it.
Great interaction, you know, really does kind of like, it gets us from point A to point B very quickly. Like, hey, there's the Spirit of the Ducks gala. Surely you were invited. But again, there's nice callbacks. So like right there in the moment, you roll your eyes a little bit. And again, like Kevin said, gosh, we wish we didn't know that Fulton was back or anything. And it'll be interesting to hear from people who maybe hadn't known, or, you know, especially in a few years, or for like kids who like watched the original trilogy before watching Mighty Ducks, to see what their reaction was. But I like the intro, like perfect callback to how, you know, he and Fulton very first met and setting them up at the pizza joint. And, you know, again, it does suck. You're just like, who's there, who isn't there. But fast forwarding a little bit, and I know we'll get into it, but the mention of Charlie,
yeah,
just so jarring. And it's like, okay, are we going to see Charlie later in the season now? Or does it kind of set it up for why we aren't going to see him? And maybe there is going to be that cliffhanger where Bombay gets a phone call or something. He's like, hey, Charlie. And then it ends.
Yeah. We can talk about Charlie now, because that was a big thing. I will mention just real quick, with Fulton. Like, I definitely got goosebumps when they hugged, but if I didn't know what was happening and the window broke, I think I would have just lost my mind. But with Charlie, yeah, I've been thinking this whole time, like, it wasn't going to happen, but then they mentioned him. And mm-hmm. now I think he's playing a factor in episode 10. I think it's all leading up to some sort of interaction between Charlie. They sort of explained, you know, that's why Charlie didn't come. Like, him and Bombay are on the outs. So I think we're all setting up for a big something with Charlie in episode 10. Kevin, what do you think?
I totally agree. I don't think they would have mentioned Charlie if there wasn't something to come. Aside from the fact that it's kind of weird if they didn't mention Charlie, just because, like, he, you know, he was so central, but I lean towards more that they're going to include him somehow. I'm just curious to see if it's like a more like organic storyline thing, like he moved back to Minneapolis and his son starts playing for the Ducks or something, or if it's just like straight up him in Bombay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm curious to see if something like that happens, but I do definitely think we'll get, whether it's on screen or not, I do think we get, like Tommy said, like some kind of cliffhanger like that, like where it's a phone call, or, you know, you see somebody in the distance and it's like, oh, is that Charlie? Like, I think we'll get something.
Yeah. Yeah. But what did we just make of these Ducks here? Which one was sort of your favorite as they played out? And what did you make of just how they ended up and their jobs and all that?
So, really tough. I think, first off, I think I was upset that we didn't get more Kenny Wu until the final scene, and we'll talk more about that later. I thought that Banks, kind of start to finish, being a public defender, and his speech at the gala, they were great. Call some cake gold. Eater.
Yeah.
Guy and Connie, we finally got the, you know, yes, they're together. Because I remember seeing them, I'm like looking for wedding rings, and they mentioned they've got three kids, one of them named Gordon, assumedly, mm-hmm. and surely they didn't name him Bombay. I'm wondering now, like, are we going to get to see them kiss? Like, would they be back in episode 10? Because, like, did we ever get that in the original trilogy?
Ooh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Did they kiss in D3? I'm still trying to remember.
No, that's the whole Kevin's whole thing, that Connie was icing Guy out. And, you know, Guy cared a lot more than Connie did. But obviously they ended up together. But yeah, it's definitely on the list to
candidates. One other item. I think Guy has aged very well. And
well,
Guy
was the one where, and like we've talked to his name's gonna fail me, but Kenny Wu before. Justin Wong. So we saw what he looked like whenever we were like going through that process. So it was less shocking to like see him now. But like Guy, I almost didn't even recognize. I was like, I'd kind of forgotten who all was gonna be in the episode, and I was like, who is that? And then obviously it comes together really quickly, but I feel like he looks the least like he did when he was a kid. And I don't know, his hair's like really curly now. It's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
I liked them looking at the photo and I'm like, oh my God, Guy looked like so little in the original one. And now, you know, he's like a handsome looking guy and like great hair, and he's got like multiple rings. So you can tell he's got his personality still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree with Tommy though. I think Adam was my favorite, just because of like how he completely turned a 180 from who he was, and then you just nailed it home with the speech. He was probably, I did like Averman bringing back like all of his old silly, like, hey, bet about us, like that kind of stuff. And then Bombay getting annoyed by it. I thought that was good. But yeah, I thought they were all solid, but I'd probably put Banks as my favorite of the cameos of the returns.
Nice. Yeah, I liked Ken Wu. I thought Ken Wu had some great moments with the breadsticks and the fighting, and then obviously at the end. I thought he made the most of his screen time. A little unclear why they have pictures of these guys up at the bar at Twin City Slice, and also like why all the Don't Bothers just immediately know who they are.
Well, I guess they've been to this place. I assume this was the same pizza place that Evan and Sophie were at, and so they've seen it, just like at your local.
It's like a Ducks. It's a Ducks. pizza place.
And it's like when you go to your local haunts, whatever, there's pictures of like the high school football team, things like that. It's like, oh, proud sponsor of, you know, the, you know, whoever, North Dallas Fighting Bulldogs, etc.
There's a picture of Tommy coming runner up in the local chess tournament.
Just devastated. Yeah. And I'm just like, I wish they would take that photo down.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, I did enjoy Banks as well. His little cake eaters thing and then the speech. I was a little disappointed Fulton was a construction worker. I think we had him pegged as like a teacher or something affecting the youth. But were you disappointed? I guess he's very physical. But what do we make of Fulton just being the construction worker there and kind of, I guess, leading these Ducks and bringing Gordon back into the fold here?
Well, we've always said that Fulton is captain's material. Leadership, he's got there. You can imagine. He's working construction. But I bet you he is probably like the foreman, or he's got a high up job, but he's in there doing the dirty work because he wants to lead by example. And so based on all of our talks about Fulton, I think this really meshes well with this character.
I'd love to talk to Brill and ask him if that was just like strictly out of necessity, like they couldn't come up with anything else, like for something to break a window. Mm-hmm. And like that, we're like, oh, let's just make him a construction worker.
He threw his pen from his mortgage lender job, and it was so hard that he threw it.
I don't really know what else they could have really done for that. But I would just love to get Brill's take on that. But I think it would have been nice to see him in something else. But I mean, you know, it works.
All right. Yeah. Anything else on these Ducks here before we move to Alex and Stephanie, and then kind of it all coming together at the gala and the ending there?
I just, again, reiterating, I wish we'd had more time with them. I wish we had gotten to see like more organic stuff happen with it. Everything with them seems so like choreographed, like they're going to do the dinner, then they're going to do the thing. Like none of it was like just part of a storyline, which I think would have been nice to have. But again, we get why it was so difficult to make that happen. But all in all, given the constraints and everything, I thought their return was great.
Yeah, I like it. That is a good point. I thought, you know, after they disrupted the gala, I would have loved to see like more reaction from the crowd and kind of what happened after they took that speech or took the microphone and gave all their speeches. That's where I was like, oh, man, I wish they wouldn't have cut away so quickly there. But I did like the little flying V into the gala. Yes.
Yeah,
that was a great Easter egg there.
Yeah, a little subtle one there. We mentioned the limo on the ice, and then obviously the whole Bombay thing. Just, I guess, your thoughts on Evan sort of figuring it out before Bombay did, and him sort of, you know, pushing the Ducks to go get him and pick him up there.
I mean, Bombay has said before, and, you know, again, he was like, I hate hockey, I hate kids. He really let himself be vulnerable, like to open himself back up to hockey, and then to realize that, you know, these people they hate me. Like the Ducks was me. That was the best thing I ever did, and they don't want any part of me. So fuck them, you know, after he like opened himself back up. Like Kevin mentioned, a lot of, you know, run the gamut from Bombay, all his emotions, and especially because he's like, he didn't even tell them that he wasn't invited. And then Bombay and Evan, their relationship, like you really got to wonder, are they going to have a skating on the ice moment the next episode?
Yeah, I think we're setting up for something. Obviously Bombay inquiring about this assistant coach position there at the end and things like that. So
that's another one of our predictions that's started to come true.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But let's, before we go too much on the ending, let's go to Alex and Stephanie real quick. So obviously Stephanie sort of guilt trips Alex into the Mighty Ducks gala. A lot of shaking heads here. What did we
So, okay. One, Stephanie, man, she's the worst. But she's so good at it. But also Alex is just such a pushover. Like, come on. Like what the hell? Like stand up for yourselves. Tell her no. Like it drives me crazy.
so we can get into another episode, but there's got to be some kind of like, Stephanie's got dirt on Alex, or like, hey, I know you don't actually have a degree or something like that. I'm going to overlook it.
I mean, it's understandable. I mean, Alex is like a single mom. She's afraid to lose her job and stuff like that. So she's like stuck. But like, it's like, she allowed herself to get to this position, and it's so frustrating.
I thought the whole like her doing all the grab bags explanation was really good, because it's like, oh, you're a duck mom now. This will count as your volunteer hour. And she's like, what the fuck? Great. And so, because I was like, Evan's like, why would you make 357 goodie bags or whatever, like for your boss, for a rival team? And then, you know, it's explained, this is your volunteer hour. So good job there. But again, well,
but,
yes.
But before that, the sweatpants thing wasn't on that pretense, though.
I wonder if Alex doesn't really do real work. And it's like, this is the this is kind of what she has to do all day. And she's getting paid under the table or something. Or there's something there. Because remember, she like, quote unquote, found that like $10,000 like grant. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie's like, where'd you, like, you found that money that should have like gone back to the city or something like that. And this is, or maybe this is Alex doing this so she doesn't find that. I don't know. I think there's a lot we can go down the Stephanie Alex relationship that I think we'll get into in a later episode down the summer.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, how paralegal and lawyer the whole relationship works, but Alex does seem to be Stephanie's just sort of task rabbit. Like, she had to go to the housing complex and like tell everyone that they needed to get out, and then had to do these sweatpants. But as we pointed out, Stephanie kind of guilt tripped her into it, saying, oh, you know, I let you leave work early. Yeah. Good point, Tommy, on having them develop the, and like having her be, oh, you're a duck's mom now. And, you know, she doesn't know that Evan went there, but a good way to force her to get into the gala and get her into the whole thing there. So good work there. Yeah, let's go now to the ending. Obviously, Evan says no. A nice little scene. What do we make of just the, you know, the schoolyard scene where, you know, he had to come over, talk to the ducks, and then, you know, they had to pretend like they were going to fight, and then they turn away, which really sets up sort of Evan saying, you know, they have my back, and sets up the whole thing. So I thought it was a good sort of small scene, because I was like, why are they doing this? And then they sort of all brought it around to the end there. So appreciated kind of the continuity and making us making that scene matter, I guess, instead of it just being, you know, funny about Logan and his hair.
I wish that I did like the Logan in his hair scene, and then the callback to it later when he's like, "Was it my hair?"
Yeah,
I thought that was excellent. I wish we'd actually gotten a brawl during that scene. I thought that would have been good. Like, I want to see Coob in a brawl, and Nick just like, you know, commentating or something the entire time. I thought that would have been funny, but I thought it was good. I thought it was a good like way to like make that come full circle.
Yeah. Good little schoolyard antics. I thought it was fine. I mean, again, setting things up, you know, and what's interesting is I was so like, kind of like lost in the episode. I didn't even like think like at the end of the episode, I was like, oh yeah, like that's right. Like there was video of that and that's going to come back. So I was like totally like not thinking of it, which was great. So really good job by, you know, the writers, the directors, the entire production team to kind of, to get the response out of your audience that you're looking for.
Yeah. I as soon as Ruby pulled out the phone, I was like, oh, this is going out. And they go to the same school. So Evan had to know that him practicing there was going to get out, right? I think. Yes. Did he just, you know, drop the ball there, like just not think about the repercussions?
So at the end, he says like, oh, I was going to tell you, but it's no big deal. It's like, okay, he fucked him. He fucked himself when he said no big deal. It's like he should have just owned up to it right away. Say, yes, I did this because you guys didn't want to win, but I made the decision to blah 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 to come back. And like, I
did love his line where he goes, "I was going to tell you guys in like 10 years." So yeah, that's a great line. One thing about the about Ruby recording him during the practice, like that had to be like Coach T telling her to do that.
Oh,
like, you know, knowing that if he says no, a way to like destroy him is to have the video.
Yeah, he keeps the receipts. He's exactly. Conniving.
Yeah,
that's a great point, because like, why else would Ruby just have her phone on the ice? Yeah. It had to be a Coach T thing. Great catch there. Yeah, I guess the last thing would be sort of the end with the montage. Obviously, we talked about the end a little bit, but the montage with the ducks and the don't bothers getting together. Like I said, I thought it was a little awkward that they just all knew who these people were and like treated them like they were super famous. But in terms of the montage, I thought it was a good way to show them, you know, getting better without the typical training sequence. But yeah, what anything stick out from that montage scene with the ducks and the don't bothers?
Two things for me, Kenny Wu. And then the hitting, I was like, that is some good looking hockey hitting and like just fucking banks up. I loved it.
Yeah, they all looked really good out on the ice. Obviously, Kenny Wu looked amazing. I thought it was, aside from it just being a little kind of like a, it wasn't organically like introduced. It was like, obviously they just wanted to get the ducks on the ice somehow.
Yeah.
But it did harken back to a lot of the old, like, you know, hijinks playing around on the ice, you know, we either practice or we play or whatever, or we either play or we play around. I thought it was like a good homage to that. You wish that you'd had like a Dwayne out there with a rope and stuff like that. I thought it was a fun scene, you know, it wasn't, you know, necessary for any like plot lines or anything, but it was fun. Obviously they just needed to get the ducks out on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, it was the, because I was waiting for them, like, how are they actually going to get better and start winning games consistently? And I think this was sort of a better way to do it than just like a typical, you know, I don't know, passing the egg or clean up the trash type, you know, non-traditional coaching aspect. So I enjoyed that. I think we talked about Kenny Wu. That was obviously great. I thought Lauren and Connie bonding was really good. That was probably my second favorite part there. But yeah, there you go.
I like Banks getting hit and then him being like, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah, I think that is episode 6. Anything else we need to discuss here before we go to our high points, our low points, and our MVPs?
You know, the Averman being the limo driver and then driving the limo onto the ice, like that was like a great setup there. And I think there's probably more layers to Averman's character. Matt Doherty will probably tell you that he's still like playing clubs at the night. Like he's got like a comedy career, comedy music career. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you see the limo drive on the ice, you're just like, oh, this is great. And, they didn't ruin it terribly by being like, you know, where'd you learn that from? Like it was a nice callback, you know, sometimes subtle things like that can get overblown, but I thought it was really good. Callback there with the limo on the ice, and that entire like third act was just fantastic.
For me, I feel like we kind of glossed over the gala scene. I thought that scene was just really good, from Alex being like talking to the lady that didn't care about what she was having to say, Coach T taking a picture with himself and telling the guy to get out of the frame. Yeah. I thought that was good. And then like was it Stephanie that like during their speech was like grabbing the plaque or whatever?
Yeah.
And like, so that Bombay wouldn't get it. And I think there was a lot of really funny, just like little side things that happened during that. And like Coach P the entire time, just being like really confused was really funny.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really great scene.
I agree. We learned a little bit about Coach T there, 2-time captain of the Ducks, full name Daryl Tingman. That's going to be a trivia question. Write that one down. But good point on the gala. It was fun. I kind of figured the Ducks would sort of know, the old Ducks, I guess, would sort of know what the new Ducks were into, but maybe not. You know, they've been out and about living their lives. So I guess that's not too far of a leap here. But let's go to our episode awards. Let's start with the high point. Tommy, your high point of the episode, which was full of them.
I think it has to be the skating and training montage at the end, because you're just feeling it all. You're at a high right then, because, you know, Evan is back, Bombay is back, all the Ducks are there. And it's just like, this is what Ducks is about, like that kind of like fun, either play or play around. This is the play around. So to me, that was the high point in an episode full of high points. But I do want to get an honorable mention to the beginning with Coach T and Evan. I think without that, you know, I think it's still a very good episode, but it just sets it off on such a high trajectory.
I like it. Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue with that logic. I really want to go with the broken window just because it's like, you know, it's such a big, like, you know, it like prepares you for everything that's about to happen. But I think I'll agree with Tommy that like the montage is probably the best part. Just because, you know, we get to see all the old ducks in their, like, you know, in their natural habitat, if you will. You know, we get to kind of like, you know, complete that like link between the Don't Bothers and the ducks. I think that was kind of the most important part of the season, maybe. Mm-hmm. To kind of like make that connection. But yeah, that first scene with Coach T too was pretty great. That just like so much good stuff happened in there.
Yeah. The montage, putting them together on the ice. I wasn't necessarily expecting that. I figured, you know, them and Bombay would be on the ice, but to have them sort of scrimmage the Don't Bothers was really good. I liked the quacking at the bar. That to me signified like, all right, everybody's back. We're quacking again. Like, it's a nice callback. So I'll give an honorable mention to the quacking at the bar, but we can make it unanimous with the montage here. The low point, I think for me, this one's pretty obvious. Tibor and Havel, the kids from the Czech Republic. Like, I don't know what happened there. And Sophie just says, hey, they came. So I thought there was maybe a better way to introduce them and maybe introduce them in episode 7.
Yeah, or, I don't really. Yeah. That was weird because I remember watching like them like making the pancakes where I'm like, who are those fucking like dweebs in the background? And so I guess they got a couple of new characters there. And it's not like there's plenty of precedents for the Ducks getting players midway through the season, but it was very strange. But I guess introduce them now and then like you can give them like their moment in the next episode or in 2 episodes where they do some like crazy play or something like that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And it was strange. And it feels like maybe that was just a time issue. Like they knew they weren't going to have time in episode 7 to introduce them. So let's just shoehorn that in here or something. I don't know. But yes, it was odd how they didn't really follow through on that. Cause like, I figured they're both going to be ringers, right?
Yeah. Like,
so I just thought that was strange, but yeah.
Yeah. They come in from the Czech Republic, a very big hockey country. You assume they're going to be, you know, ringers and help them turn this thing around. But yeah, I think we'll see what happens in episode 7. It might've been more effective if, you know, Bombay gets his old recruiting tactics out and he pulls them in. Like it just, yeah, they showed up, but, are we in agreement that's the low point? Any other low points that we need to talk about?
I'm curious how some of those pancakes came out, but
I want to eat all those pancakes, man.
Maybe we'll have a wing eating challenge and like a
candy pancakes.
No, a candy pancake.
We can all make each other pancakes blind, and then you got to eat them.
Well, like you mean like a blind taste test, not like
like you don't know what's going to be in the pancakes until you have to eat them.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we're going way over time here, but a lot of movement on this chicken wing challenge. Chef JoJo wants to make the chicken wings.
Oh, that would be amazing. Duck called a Chef JoJo.
Yeah. People are offering to fly in and challenge Kevin. So this is going to be a big event. We'll have to plan. We'll actually have to do some planning here, but yeah, stay tuned for the chicken wing challenge. Because
chicken wing challenge coming 2026.
Yeah, I would say late 2021, maybe early 2022. We'll see what happens. We got to get through the rest of the season first before I even start thinking about planning this. But let's go to the MVPs here. Kevin, your MVP.
Oh man, this one's tough. I think, I mean, can you collectively give it to the Ducks, to the old Ducks? That might be cheating, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to collectively give it to the old Ducks.
That's fair. I'll allow it. Tommy?
Well, I'm glad Kevin cheated before I did, because I think you have to give it to the old Ducks, and I don't want to just give it to like, oh, give it to Fulton or give it to, you know, Vinny LaRusso or whatever, or Guy. I think, you know, it's shared MVP by the old Ducks. But I think the question is Bombay included in that? And I'm going to say no.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say no.
Yeah, that was my question, because I would give it to Gordon personally. I thought he had a tough job to like really convey, you know, he's angry at the new Ducks, but the old Ducks come back and he's kind of getting hopeful, and then he's excited to go to the gala and then he's not invited. There's a lot happening. I thought he handled it really well until the end where he told Evan to, you know, look out for yourself. But I would give it to Gordon just because he had a long road to haul there in this episode. But we will give it to the old Ducks collectively. So now we have two MVPs for Nick, two MVPs for Evan, one MVP for Coob, and then one MVP for the old Ducks. That is it for us at Quack Deck Pod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuackDeckPod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, tell us who your MVP is. Thanks to N64 Rescue for sponsoring this episode. Thanks to our two producers for just sponsoring us in general. Our executive producers, Elsie Barnett, Brian Berg, Alex Ybarra, Josh Licht, Bobby Lemaire, Rabbi Lex Rothenberg, Aaron Davis, Ed Semia, Alex Vlahos, Joyce Ng. Our regular producers, Deborah Chen, Jeremiah Bershey, Adam Ferry, Jared Beasley, Lisa Wilbig, Anthony Geoffrey, Jeff Fantas, Matt Holtwick, Stevie Yanks, JD Youngblood, Chris Garland, and Sarah Mihalopoulos. I think I nailed it. If I didn't, I apologize. But the ranks are growing. So join the train. You get access to our secret producer channel where I'm sure we'll be planning this chicken wing challenge here. And remember, Ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Ain't no turning back. Got to be the man.